It's beginning to smell like summer. Freshly cut grass, coconut scented sunscreen, movie popcorn with artificial butter. Yes, for many of us, big movies are a big part of what summer's all about. And even though our calendars say we've still got another month of spring, Hollywood says otherwise. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 came out a couple of weeks ago, and with Fast X in theaters this weekend, the summer movie season is well underway. Hi, and welcome. I'm Paul Acey, sitting in the host chair for this episode of The Plugged In Show, our weekly conversation about technology, entertainment, and pop culture. And today, it's all about Plugged In's bread and butter, movies. Mm-hmm. We will talk about what we can expect to land in theaters around the globe, and as near as we can figure, what parents can expect from them. Then in our second segment, I'll be talking with Adam Holtz about what is expected to be one of the year's biggest blockbusters, Fast X, the latest film in the Fast and Furious saga. Adam has been following the Fast and Furious film franchise forever, it seems, and he'll tell us whether we should race to the theaters or slam on the brakes.
That was ponderful.
Thank you.
Oh, that was ponderful.
This will be a movie-centric show, and joining us today are Bob Hoos, Emily Chow, and yes, Adam Holtz.
Hey, Paul.
Welcome.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
All right, since we're talking a lot about movies this episode, I thought I'd do something a little bit different for our icebreaker question, but still stick on the summer theme. I want you guys to tell me about a memory that you have from a summer vacation you took. It can be a great memory, or it can be a terrible one. Mr. Bob Hoos, go.
I get to go first. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is something probably I shouldn't even talk about on air. But hey, you know, you called on me, so
we'll
I get
the
to go
judge
first.
Of that.
Yeah, but it took place in my 10th summer.
Okay.
So I was 10 years old. So it's more PG-13 rather than anything, you know.
To PG-10.
Anyway, my family and I went to Florida. I'm from New York originally, upstate New York. We went to Florida and visited a family down there. And the son from that family and I were out on the beach, you know, walking along on this beautiful sunlit beach. And we came upon this young woman who was dressed revealingly. Let's put it that way.
I mean, it is the beach.
Where's this story going,
really,
Bob?
Well, you'll see. But she was basically showing us things that our young eyes had never seen before.
10 years old.
That's right. And he was younger. He was 8. Mm. And so we're standing there and staring and staring some more. And eventually we made it back to our parents. And of course, the 8-year-old
blurts it
immediately
out.
Just tells his mom everything in detail. And they all look at me because I was the older one and I led this young skull full of mush, you know, out into territory he shouldn't have gone to.
But
here's the lesson. Here's the lesson, because there's a plugged in lesson here. Okay.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah. No, really. Is there
a payoff here, Bob?
Because when you stop and think about it, what we were doing was the equivalent of today handing a kid who's 8 years old a cell phone.
Oh, wow.
And saying, look at anything you want to there. Go for it. You know, because it's the same kind of thing. The lesson being, if it's there, they'll stare.
Mm. I like that.
There you go.
Wow,
okay.
You even gave it a Dr. Wow. Seuss kind of spin there,
man,
right?
Man, my
end.
Story doesn't have a moral.
Yeah, mine definitely doesn't.
Am I totally retooling my story right now?
No, I have many summer memories. The funny thing is, I'm not actually sure how many of them really took place during the summer versus which ones took place like during the school year, because I was homeschooled till I was 10.
Oh.
So a lot of my really fond memories, I'm like, that might have been spring break, you know?
if it's warm, it counts.
So I'm going to go with one that I know for sure was in the summer, and it was actually the summer that we moved. My dad was military, and we were stationed in Germany for 8 years. So this was the summer that we moved back to the States, and the reason that this memory stands out to me is because when we landed in Atlanta, my older sister and I were actually going to Omaha, Nebraska to visit my grandma, and the rest of the family was going to Alabama, which is where we were moving to. But our plane got delayed. So as soon as we got off our plane, and we had to collect our baggage before we could go to our next plane because we were in overseas flight. So my dad came with me and my sister. He grabbed our bags as soon as they came off the baggage claim. And we, all three of us, we booked it across the airport to try to make the flight so that, you know. And so my dad had to run all the way there, and then he had to run all the way back to go back with my mom and my other two sisters to help them so that they could get on their next flight. And yeah, it was just kind of a fun summer, because, you know, got to stay at grandma's, no parents.
Got to
watch all of the Disney Channel that I wanted to watch.
And that's your lesson right there. Watch it all.
If it's there, they'll stare.
That's right.
it was a good summer. I also got to hang out with like my cousins and stuff who I hadn't seen in a little bit. So
that's
summer.
Awesome. That's very cool.
So my family didn't vacation much. We took one vacation.
One vacation.
The extended family took one every summer. But
I all of a sudden feel really bad for
my
you.
Family did not vacation. I never went to camp. I mean, that explains a lot right there.
It really does.
I digress. So we took a vacation, which was actually a business trip of my dad's to Asheville, North Carolina. We were in a hotel while dad did his business stuff. There was a theater in the parking lot across from the hotel. This was the summer of 1984, and I went to see Last Starfighter and Karate Kid every day for a week.
Oh.
And it was the best vacation ever, because my mom was dealing with two little children. I was 10 years older than my siblings, more or less, and they just turned me loose. And I literally spent the entire vacation in the theater. There may have been days where I saw one of those movies more than once.
Oh, my goodness.
And they remain two of my very favorite 80s movies, although I think Karate Kid holds up better than The Last Starfighter.
Yeah, The Last Starfighter is not given very much credit, and it's actually a better film than the credit that's given to it.
I would agree with that, although I watched it with my son recently, and like a lot of things from the 80s, the memory is better than the reality in 2023. It didn't hold up as well as I wanted it to, even though it still was one of my favorites from my childhood.
So my story is not nearly as deep or winsome or anything. It was my wife, my daughter, and I, we were all up in the mountains. We were doing this hike by this lake. And, you know, in Colorado, sometimes the mountains going down toward the lakes can be pretty sloped.
I like where this is going.
Yeah, I was wearing just some sandals, which is not something you take on a hike typically.
Just a pair of sandals, that's it?
It was really
awkward. All right, Bob, it's not your story.
So, and the trail was getting more sloped toward the actual
slopier.
Lake. Getting more slopier. And I got to a point where I realized, you know what? I'm going to just slide all the way down, probably fall, hit my something. And I figured, okay, so let's just turn toward the lake and just follow the path down. I'll stop at the lake and then I can recalibrate my balance. I wasn't quite estimating how steep that slope was. And so my speed sort of carried me straight into the lake. And the lake...
It's a good thing it wasn't the Mandalorian, because the monster would have come and eaten you.
And just like, oh, I can't stop!
That was exactly it. And the lake drops off to like 3 or 4 feet. Zoom! Right down. Water over my head.
Again, like the Mandalorian.
I poked my head up because I could stand, but I had my cell phone with me. It was totally gone. The hat was floating on the top of the water, just like a little cartoon.
Awesome.
I pop up and I see my wife and daughter, and my wife just looks and she starts laughing. My daughter says, "That was the scariest thing I have ever seen." So.
Oh, man. That's easy.
Proof that being a wife and being a daughter are two different things.
So I really wish we had ended with your story, Adam, because it's a great segue into how important summer movies are, right?
True story.
Obviously, the summertime season is a huge deal for Hollywood. I think last year, the movie industry brought in something like $3.4 billion, which is a lot of money.
Well, especially on the heels of where it's been the last couple of years.
Yeah. It is incredible. So I wanted to ask you, obviously, we all know, because we review movies, what big blockbusters are coming out. And I, just to start us off, I wanted to ask, what movies are you most interested in seeing? Not necessarily the movies that you're looking forward to the most, but what are you most interested to see?
I want to see the Barbie movie.
Mm.
I know, like, I grew up, like, I don't know how many Barbies we had, more than we probably needed, but we had a lot of them growing up, and I don't know, it looks like it could be, like, really funny, maybe, potentially. It also looks like it could be very problematic.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't feel like it's going to be a kid's movie.
No.
Even though it's about a kid's toy.
Just, like, based on the people who are in it, I would not take a kid to see it because they traditionally have not been in kid-friendly movies. But
yeah,
I don't know.
True
I'm very interested to see the take that they're going to have on it. I really like Greta Gerwig as a director. Yep. So,
is she the director?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
So
she does interesting things.
So yeah, that's the one that I am personally most interested in. But the second one, which is a kid's movie, would probably be Little Mermaid.
Yeah, that does look interesting, doesn't it?
Yep, and it's either going to be one of those things where I see it and I'm like, this is everything I ever wanted, or I'm going to watch it and I'm going to be like, well, this is... I'm worried that they may have done the opposite of Beauty and the Beast, where they chose a singer instead of an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
That's well, only, yeah, so many of the live-action remakes for Disney have just not lived up to the animated originals. They just haven't. I think Beauty and the Beast was probably the closest in terms of...
Cinderella was pretty great, too.
Yeah, Cinderella and wasn't
played, they It was a little bit more of a reimagining than a straight-up sort of remake.
I like Peter Pan and Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Which that just one, came out on Disney not too long ago.
I was going to say, not too long ago. That one I felt like held up pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was designed as a direct remake of the animated original?
Yes and no. It is in that you're going to see a lot of parallels, but it's not like, it doesn't have like the same music and everything. Mm-hmm. Like you can hear some of the music, like the orchestra playing the score of the film, you know, so you hear We Can Fly, but it's not the song We Can Fly. It's just the orchestra. Mm-hmm. So there are differences, and I don't know. I liked it.
Now that we're talking about kids' movies, I actually really enjoy kids' movies,
mm-hmm.
by and large. The problem I've had lately with kids' movies is that, especially like when we're getting into this heavy blockbuster time, is that you always have to be a little bit wary of what content they might be sort of tucking in there now, because a lot of these studios, especially Disney, they want to sort of teach kids new lessons,
right?
And the lessons these days, a lot of parents probably aren't up for, you know. And so you got to be sort of careful about that. I mean, so we don't know obviously what's going to be in Little Mermaid, which is a wonderful classic that everybody loves. So how are they going to change it? Who knows? Hopefully not in any real negative ways.
Yeah. So tell me, what movie are you maybe nervous about seeing?
Nervous about seeing? I don't know. Maybe the Spider-Man movie, mm-hmm. you know, the one across the Spider-Verse, because I loved the first
one. The first one was great.
The first one was a fabulous.
It was like 4 years ago.
Yeah,
which
animated
pop culture
film,
time is forever.
And it focuses on Miles Morales, mm-hmm. who is sort of like the Spider-Man that came into place right after Peter Parker passed away in terms of comic book world.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was fabulous. And it dealt with those multiverses actually before most of the multiverse stuff was being thrown up on the screens. So in a way, I'm a little worried that they're going to take it in directions that will lessen that memory. Let's put it that way.
That is always hard when you have a really good movie.
Yeah.
What is the follow-up going to look like, right?
Yeah.
It's a tricky thing.
I think the one I'm looking forward to most is one called The Cow Who Sang a Song into the Future.
Did you just make that up?
No. That is a real film. That's a real film that's coming out a little bit later late spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be interesting. I mean, it's sort of...
the title is.
No, I mean, it mixes magic and environmentalism. And I was thinking...
Two of my favorite subjects, personally.
It's going to be a winner for you, Paul. All they have to do is add in a little bit of biblical parallels, and it's hot spots, you know?
It's all of my sweet spots.
So I don't know. It's actually a foreign film, but it's gotten It's gotten rave reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it probably won't be on the blockbuster list, but it does sound interesting.
It's got a blockbuster title, baby.
It really does.
So I am curious and looking forward to Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I mean, I think even though the last Indiana Jones movie, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
That one doesn't exist.
No, I know. It is dead to us. It wasn't. It was underwhelming. And Disney has been sort of hit and miss with lots of things lately. Yeah. And so I know I listened to a huge podcast just yesterday about what they were allegedly intending to do and how much people, the test audiences, hated it.
Oh, really?
Hated it.
I didn't
hated it because they allegedly killed off Indy and Phoebe Waller-Bridge took over for him, and there was a time travel thing, and it made it as if he had never existed.
What?
And people hated it so much that they spent another year shooting new scenes so that, you know, maybe that's not the ending. Now, this
maybe
was
don't
all,
kill off your main character.
Right. Well, I mean, like, you know,
maybe that
Harrison
kills
Ford
the franchise?
Is 80.
Yeah,
so,
well, but you can still let him retire.
You know, he wanted him to kill Han Solo, too. So he has a long, rich history of wanting his most famous characters to die. But
Harrison Ford
having
quit
said
doing
that,
us dirty.
I actually think the trailer looks pretty interesting. They're using a lot of this new CGI. There's a part of it that clearly is a much younger Indy.
Whether that's
a flashback. Well, there's a lot of speculation that it's time travel,
that
it's not a flashback, that it's something different.
And the film takes place in 1969.
Right.
And it's all supposed to be centered around the space race, as I understand.
Yep, I think that's right. So I'm curious. Mm-hmm. My expectations are actually pretty low. I feel like some of these big franchises have disappointed enough recently that I just don't have that sort of sense of gee whiz wonder going into stuff. I'm like, oh, how are they going to butcher this? Which maybe is really cynical, but that's kind of parallel to what you were talking about, Bob.
No, I think that's absolutely true. One thing that I've noticed as we're just sort of going around the table here is Little Mermaid, Spider-Man, Indiana Jones, these are all follow-ups, remakes, sequels, you know, and it seems like the summer movie season, as it has been for the last several years, is just saturated with sequels and franchise addendums, and in the case of Little Mermaid, you know, remakes.
The Meg 2, The Trench. I personally, who doesn't love a giant shark and Jason Statham? I mean, it's a winning combination.
Well, and you've got so many other things. Look at the list, Mission Impossible, The Haunted Mansion, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. All these are sort of like these retools of what we've seen before. Now, we've talked about sequels, obviously, in the past, that is Hollywood running out of new ideas. But another question is really, do people actually want to see new original movies anymore?
Well, you know, I think they do. However, Hollywood is a business.
Right.
I mean, sometimes we look at what they create and think, well, certainly they're not thinking from a business perspective. Look at this thing. But it is at its base a business. And I think that's why we see so many sequels is because they know they've got some kind of a built-in audience. And they're, you know, that's why we see
there's brand recognition there.
Yeah. Some of these old TV shows that you know, have a following from way back when are being remade into movies because they think, well, everybody's going to come see it.
Yeah.
I really do believe that is behind all this sequel stuff and why they're really pushing those things.
Yeah. One thing that occurs to me is in our business, we review movies, right? And we review them especially for families that are really curious about what's going to be in a movie. It strikes me that sometimes when we're talking about these sequels, these franchises, it actually is helpful for us and for parents potentially because we know a little bit about what to expect. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. And I also think that as we look at PG-13 action blockbusters in particular, They're not all exactly the same, but I think that we can make some generalizations. Like when we look at Fast X and Transformers Rise of the Beast, which comes out June 9th, or The Flash on June 16th, or Indiana Jones on June 30th, or Mission Impossible July 12th.
CGI Fest.
Well, it's going to be what I'm hearing. What we know is we're going to have a lot of special effects. Yeah. As David Letterman would have said back in the day, more explosions. But we know we'll probably have a pretty high body count. Most of these movies have a smattering of language. You know, they're not, you know, pristine in terms of dialogue. And most of them have a little bit of either sensuality or suggestive winks and nods here and there. Like, again, they're not going to all have the exact same amount of each one of those things. But I think that we can safely say all of these PG-13 movies are probably going to include most, if not all, that content.
Well, you know, I think there's a bit of truth there. But I would also push back a little bit.
That's good.
And
it makes the podcast interesting.
Well, yeah, and say that, you know, that's why we're here.
Exactly.
Because not all the films are all the same.
That's right.
And they're going to have different levels of content, and you will potentially have some PG-13er that's fabulous.
Right.
With very little content, except maybe a couple explosions.
Well, like last summer, Top Gun had far less content than the one 35 years ago.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And I think it's also important for us to say we really try to be fair. We're making generalizations here about movies we haven't seen yet, so we don't actually know. The first several Transformers movies had a lot of really suggestive content, but the most recent one, Bumblebee, actually dialed it back quite a bit. So I'm hopeful that Rise of the Beast is more like that one than the earlier ones.
You know, I want to throw in two more little things before we close this off. There are two films that I found of interest. Again, I know nothing about them other than their trailers, but I think they look interesting and they could be something that families might be interested in. One is Blue Beetle. Mm. It's another one of those superhero movies, but it's sort of flown under the radar. Nobody's been talking about it, but the trailer looks like it could be very interesting. It's about this guy who finds this relic that gives him superpowers and a suit and all this sort of thing, you know.
And it's one of the main characters, or one of the actors been in Cobra Kai, so people are going to look at him like, I know who that guy's familiar.
So that looks like it could be very interesting. The other one is Gran Turismo. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes.
Is it based on the video game?
Well, that's the thing. It's based on a real story where this kid was this fabulous gamer who played Gran Turismo, and he was just incredible at it. And there was an actual competition where they gathered together all these gamers saying that, you know, the best one of the bunch would actually get to drive an actual supercar. And so that's what it's all about. And I thought, you know, that one potentially could have some fun elements.
It's a video game movie with a twist.
Exactly.
Kind of.
With a twisting steering wheel because it's a real car.
So as we talk about these summertime movies, one of the things that I think parents are going to be dealing with is whiny kids. Right? Kids are going to be screaming to see some of these movies. And maybe parents will feel uncomfortable about some of them. So I have a two-part question for you guys. When parents are faced with that, when their child is wanting to see Blue Beetle or something that might be a little bit off kilter, how would you recommend, number one, them saying no? And number two, if they say yes, how do they navigate sort of the aftermath?
So it really depends on the age of the kid, because in my opinion, like if you're dealing with teenagers, maybe even tweens, like 10 years old and up, if they're in double digits, I think like if you have gone through our reviews and you're like, okay, this thing has some problems, but maybe we can navigate it, I'm going to be so mean and kids everywhere are going to hate me for suggesting this. Make them write a report after they see it.
Because I have done that with my kids.
I mean, like, the reason I'm suggesting this, too, is because I'm thinking about our review process. When we watch these movies, we take our notes and we write our reviews, and it almost, we've said this, it kind of makes the whole process clinical in a way, to where we're able to think about the themes of the movie in a deeper way. We're able to think about the problems in a more analytical way so that they don't affect us as negatively as they might if we were just watching it mindlessly. So that would be a suggestion for older kids. And then when it comes to younger kids, you're the parent. Just say no.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's exactly what I was going to say. We held the ground. I don't know that we quite made it to 13 with my son, who was pressing hard to see the Marvel movies. And I just said, you know, it's PG-13. It has content that I know is inappropriate for you. I also know that all of your friends have seen this, but we're not going to go there. Okay. I think we saw the first one when he was 12, and I think we were on an airplane and it was to Hawaii or something. And so, okay, you can watch it. but you are the parent. You can say no. You're going to get pushback, but that is our prerogative and our calling and responsibility as parents.
As I say, that's just the process of being a parent.
Exactly.
And there's a lot coming out in the summer. There's a lot of films, and if you have a problem with one, there's probably three or four others that might fit the bill.
And I think that there's also an opportunity, this parallels what Emily was saying, go see it with them so that you can lead a conversation that models that kind of critical thinking that we're talking
about. Of course, the report idea, I don't know, that sort of sounds like a very light substitute just in case you don't have a torture room in your basement.
You know? Like I said, I know kids are going to hate me for it, but that is, I'm sticking to that recommendation.
I love those ideas, and that's a great place to bring this conversation in for a landing. I think it's all about being a parent, saying no when you need to, having good conversations, and sometimes making your kids write a report. All right, now it is time for my favorite little second segment when we get a chance to talk about movies with Adam.
And here I am.
And there you are. And we get to talk about one of your very, very favorite franchises. Would that be fair to say?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I feel a little bit slightly outed by that.
I know, that feels...
But I think that we will have to talk about putting on and taking off the fanboy hat and putting on the plugged-in hat.
Because
I think
there are
multiple things to talk about when it comes to the Fast and the Furious franchise. Oh, so much alliteration, Paul.
So much alliteration. Yeah, we're talking about Fast and Furious because, of course, Fast 10, or as some people say, Fast X, is out in theaters this weekend.
I mean, it's spelled Fast X, so.
And while I just saw the latest movie, you are really the expert in this franchise.
Well, I'm at the very least a super fanboy. Expert might be a bit strong, although I have come armed with a vast and overflowing cornucopia of cinematic fun facts with regard to the Fast and Furious franchise.
Well, that's so exciting for me. So let's talk a little bit about the franchise as a whole.
Yep.
I want to know where this franchise began.
Yeah.
And where it is now, because it really has shifted quite a bit, right?
It really has shifted quite a bit, Paul. Now, even though the latest one is called Fast 10, there have been 11 Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, this now I'm
This
confused.
Was the 11th. And you can speak to this in greater detail when we start talking about the most recent one. I read just this morning that this is the first of a three-part swan song. So hopefully that's not too big of a spoiler, but so we'll have Fast 10, Fast 11, and Fast 12. They were just going to do two, but they ran into the same problem that Peter Jackson had with The Hobbit. They needed so many more explosions and car chases that, you know, they had to do another movie. Now, here, I'll get us started with our Fast and Furious fun facts. So the first one came out in 2001 and obviously starred Vin Diesel and Paul Walker. This was a movie that I would have described kind of as a cross between Miami Vice and some sort of a music video. This is a movie about street racing in Los Angeles and a crime ring. And so Paul Walker's character is going...
He's like a cop, right?
He's a cop. So he's an undercover cop. He's infiltrating this street racing gang because at least some of those in the street racing gang are doing illegal things. They're hijacking trucks.
Besides speeding.
Oh boy. And do they speed? sometimes when they get caught going too fast, it makes them furious. Hence the title.
Oh, there you go.
And I will now interrupt myself again. Did you know that this, while not a remake, the title was ripped off from a 1954 movie called The Fast and the Furious?
No way.
And I watched part of that yesterday too, which, curiously enough, is not that far removed from what we have here. So anyway, it started out as this sort of street racing thing with, you know, Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, and it did pretty well. The first one back in 2001 made $207 million. internationally. Now, that may not sound like a lot of money when we're talking about Avatar making, you know, $2.5 billion these days. But, you know, this wasn't Star Wars. It wasn't James Bond. It wasn't Harry Potter. And it wasn't Marvel.
It
right?
was a solid, solid.
And I mentioned those four franchises because our first big fun fact here is this is the fifth biggest franchise after those four big ones. So
wow.
only Harry Potter, Marvel as a whole, Star Wars, and James Bond are bigger than the Fast and Furious franchise in terms of total box office.
Yeah.
As of before this movie, it's made $6.2 billion.
Right. So clearly it's not about street racing, though.
Anymore, no, it's
right?
not. No, and really we can divide the franchise into kind of two eras, and you know something's been around a while when you have eras, right? You've got the first four films, which were a pretty typical trajectory. They're sort of all plays on that street racing thing. And then starting with the fifth movie, we get, I would say, a quantum leap into something that certainly there are high octane cars involved, but it's much more like a James Bond kind of thing
yeah.
because we've got international espionage. We have these guys trying and gals trying to stop mastermind criminals, or maybe Mission Impossible would be almost a better analog here. There has always been a degree of
ludicrousness.
I mean, ludicrosity. Is that a word?
Ludicrosity. That's very nice. I like it.
The ludicrosity spilled out of the cinematic cornucopia. It knows what it is. It knows that in some ways it's a cartoon, right? And they do bigger and bigger and bigger things. One of the last movies, they shot a Pontiac Fiero into outer space. And they're winking at us the whole time, right? They know how silly it is. And yet, it's a high-stakes thing. And so this thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger, although the biggest one in the franchise, the seventh movie, Fast 7, made $1.5 billion. And that was after Paul Walker was, you know, tragically killed in a car accident
yeah.
going too fast.
Yeah.
So I have more to say, but I'm going to let you get a word in.
Well, I did want to ask you, as we talk about these movies getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
We're talking primarily about the special effects, but let me ask you, do the problems get bigger and bigger and bigger as well?
You know, my sense is that it's been a lot like Marvel in that you've got a pretty good idea of what to expect. These are very solidly PG-13 action adventure movies. I mean, they started as crime movies, but it's not a crime movie anymore. It's way bigger than that. And so you get a ton of sanitized violence and recklessness with crazy stunts, right? All you have to do is watch one trailer and they do,
goodness gracious.
They do absurd things.
They
and
do.
I think when I think about being a fan of the franchise, there are just lots of kind of moments, right? And it's fun.
It strikes me that the appeal of this is it really feels like you're a kid, 12
right.
years old, playing with your
yes.
Hot Wheels cars
exactly.
on the street, and you're having them do these crazy things, jumping through hoops,
like
flying
throwing
through
them
the
to
air.
Mars.
Exactly, because I think that's sort of the appeal of this. Is
right.
It gives you sort of that flavor of, man, these cars are cool, and let's see what crazy, strange things we can do with
yeah.
them.
Yeah, and you've also got a fair bit of sensuality and suggestiveness, although I will say I think those problems were bigger in the earlier entries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think as this thing has evolved, that has become less of a focus, which isn't to say that it's gone, but that would be one of the other concerns. And then, you know, just the throwaway profanity that you always hear
right.
in these kinds of movies.
You know, watching Fast 10, it does strike me as sort of superhero-ish. Not only in terms of just the stunts that they pull, but when you're talking about that content level, too.
Yeah.
You're talking about a lot of violence. Fast 10 had tons of just physical fist fights.
More explosions.
Tons of explosions. Lots of just casual profanity. As you say, one thing that has struck me in these, I haven't seen all the Fast and Furious movies as you might have seen.
But there's still time for you.
There's still time. It struck me how many messages they also tried to work in with this. Because it goes, I think that this is really hyped up from maybe when the latter stages, it's all about family, right?
Yeah. It's well, this I think when Paul Walker died, it provided this real world impetus to focus on family.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was surprising. In the newest Fast 10, we see Dom, the Vin Diesel's character. He has a son. He's about 10 years old at this time. They call him Little B. He is learning how to drive. And the story really focuses on him and Dom's extended family, both literal family members and you know, the family that he's sort of gathered around him.
And his relationship with Letty.
Right, right.
Michelle Rodriguez.
It's a huge deal. So you see these family elements over and over and over again in this movie. You also have some odd nods to faith.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about this franchise is they always pray. There's usually, even in, as far back as the first one, you know, you see people crossing themselves. And so there is this nod to it kind of having a loosely Catholic kind of setting. But they... as it has progressed, it seems like they have taken the God part actually more seriously.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to me.
Yeah. One of the refrains that you hear over and over and over in this movie is you have to have faith. You have to have faith. Now, in the context of the movie, it's a little bit unmoored.
Faith in your Dodge Charger. Faith in your nitrous oxide. Faith that somehow none of those bullets hit you as your car flew off the cliff toward the helicopter.
That's exactly right. But still, to have some of those nods, it's unusual. I think in a modern day blockbuster to have that clear sense of, you know, there's something out there. There's something that we can trust.
Yeah, I think so. And so I think in the end, what we get is a really mixed bag. Like, obviously, personally, I have a level of enthusiasm for, you know, that 12-year-old blowing cars up part of the franchise. It's a spectacle. And it doesn't pretend to be anything other than what it is, which I kind of appreciate, right? Like sometimes franchises evolve and they can get a little pretentious. This isn't pretentious. It's just more and more ridiculous with everyone. And that's because the budgets are huge.
Yeah.
You know, this one has the fourth biggest budget of all time, $340 million.
Well, it's ludicrous how many people are in this movie.
Everybody's in it.
Everybody is
it's
in
like
this
a,
movie.
It's like a Star Wars or a Marvel movie.
Yeah, it is crazy how many people you see in it. And so you can imagine how the budget would go. Now, another thing, just to hook back on to some of the content issues in this particular movie, you do see some scantily clad females. I'm not sure if that's sort of what happens throughout the series.
No, it is what happens throughout the series. And so anytime we make generalizations, it's dangerous. So if you are interested in a particular movie in this franchise, it's always good to go back to read our full review so that you can get those specifics. So my sense is that there were more of those early on, but that's not to say that there are not any.
You bet. This felt pretty gratuitous, but they were there for sure. So be sure to check out our full review on PluggedIn.com. It'll be up online so you can take a spin through it.
And Paul, I have to ask, are you going to get some nitrous oxide fitted to your Honda Fit
To my Honda Fit. I can get up to Denver in like 15 minutes. That would be super
that
great.
That would be awesome, right?
That would be fantastic. Do you think Plugged In would pay for the nitrous?
No.
Thanks,
what
Adam.
What a beautiful fantasy though, right?
Thank you, Adam. Well, we've already talked a lot about movies, but I think we should talk about a few more in our closing segment game this week. You know the drill. Think of a movie and give us clues as to what you're thinking of. And to keep with our summer movie theme, let's keep the subject to summertime blockbusters.
I'm ready.
Go, Mr. Adam.
Okay. So this one's a little bit of a mind twister. If you watched this movie backward, it's about a huge friendly fish helping disabled people toward a better lives as they learn how to swim again. What is it?
A huge
Pinocchio.
Friendly fish.
Watching it backwards, helping people.
Was I wrong?
No. Yes, you were wrong.
Oh,
sorry.
Thank you. I was going to say you didn't answer.
Okay. A huge friendly fish.
The first thing that came to mind was Free Willy, but I don't
remember. Watching it backwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you finish the second half of it?
The Meg.
No, the Meg. But you're getting warmer.
Jaws.
Yeah.
If you watch it, he's spitting people out.
Exactly. I mean, they're whole
he's
again.
He's healing them.
He's healing dismembered people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
That was definitely a stretch.
But it was a summer blockbuster. So it was a summer blockbuster.
Well, that did not go over as well as I had hoped. But you know, life is full of small disappointments, and somehow we learn to carry on. Bob, would you like to go next? Actually, or you? Yeah. There you go.
Well. You're in the director's
chair. I was just looking
chair.
At Bob.
Where do you want to go,
the host.
Paul?
I know.
I'm going to, just out of spite, I'm going to make Emily go next.
Okay.
Not spiteful.
That feels like spiteful towards
not
me.
Not spiteful towards
he's
you.
Spiting me.
All right. You guys ready?
Ready.
Spidey man.
Several friends find themselves in the dumps when their mutual friend goes off to college.
Oh, that's every movie from the 80s, isn't it?
Oh, man.
In the dumps. Is that a key word?
Yes.
I think it is. It's not Better Off Dead, is it? No. Because there is a kid who ends up in a dumpster.
I've never actually seen that movie.
Give me another clue.
I feel like I'm going to wind up giving it away.
That's okay.
One of them is a space ranger.
Oh, of course. Toy Story, right?
Which one?
One.
Oh, it would have to be. It would have to be three.
Three.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where they end
Toy
up in the dumps.
Toy Story 3. Yep.
Very good.
Which is
very nice.
That
scary.
Scene is horrifying.
I know.
That's
still
terrifying.
Haunted by Toy Story 3.
An emotional ending.
Man,
and I'm an adult.
All right, I'll go. A sophisticated lady falls in love with a handsome stranger who turns out to be a mutt.
Oh,
Lady and the Tramp.
Yes, I knew that was too easy.
No, actually, I wouldn't have gotten it, so I'm glad somebody is paying.
By the way,
what's
that was a summer blockbuster that came
out. I was
out,
wondering.
It came
I
out
was
in
ask,
June
as soon
in
as
1955.
You said 1955. Wow. Emily was like negative how many years? Negative 40 years old.
Well, I think all of us were negative at that
point. That's probably true. Okay, so mine. A college professor goes on a business trip, reunites with a lost love, and runs into unexpected difficulties.
Indiana Jones.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yep.
That was too easy. This was way too easy.
Yeah, we just...
Man, oh.
Well, I thought mine was easy, and you guys didn't get it immediately.
Well, it was the backward. It was the backward thing, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking.
It was a wrinkle.
Would it be really a friendly shark? Even I'm
run
just
backwards. It is.
Oh,
he's helping
goodness.
People.
Anyway, thanks so much for hanging out with us on the Plugged In Show. But our little summertime party doesn't have to end now. We're always telling you what we think about movies, so now you can join the party. You can tell us what you think about movies, even movies you haven't even seen. What are you looking forward to this summertime season? What do you want to see? What are you a little bit nervous about seeing? Give us your most anticipated popcorn muncher on Facebook or Instagram. Go to thepluggedinshow.com and look for the tab on the right, and you can leave us a message. Or send us an email at team@thepluggedinshow.com. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, and hey, if you want to talk with us in real time, feel free to join us on our Plugged In Show Aftercast. We're talking about podcasts and movies and who knows what else every Monday at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. Thanks for sharing a little bit of your day with us. And let's meet again next week on The Plugged In Show.
Your kids are unique, and so are you. You have your strengths as a parent and areas of growth, too. Find out what they are by taking the 7 Traits of Effective Parenting assessment from Focus on the Family. Find out how you're doing on traits like gratitude, grace, and other research-backed traits. When you're done, we'll give you a detailed PDF with several pages of content on how to use your unique strengths and how to work on your areas of growth. This simple framework shows you how to be an effective mom or dad in daily family life, a parent who recognizes your imperfections and finds ways to thrive. You'll also get access to other resources from Focus on the Family to help you keep growing into the best parent for your kids. It only takes a few minutes to boost your parenting. Take the 7 Traits of Effective Parenting assessment at parentingtraits.com. That's parentingtraits.com.